John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello there. Hello, friends.
All right, John.
Charlie didn't like that. Charlie doesn't like that start.
The studio is aghast.
I think sometimes I do the podcast intro in my, like, DJ voice. Hi there, welcome to podcast, right to the end, squash your friend.
Sorry, did you say right to the end, squash your friends?
Slide to the end and squash your friend. Scream if you want to go faster. I've been to a fairground in the last couple of weeks, could you tell? I took my daughter on the ride we used to go on. You know, it's like four little pods of things,
spin.
And it spins. And
yeah.
I said, "Will you go on this with me? Because it's not that bad. It's not that fast." And I remember it from my childhood. My God, it was awful.
I would hate that.
It was there was a point we were both laughing, and then at one point we both stopped laughing at the same point. Just as he went, "Scream if you want to go faster," and we went, "No,
no, thank you, no, thank you."
Oh. It was horrific, and she, you know.
Is she forgiven you yet?
She has. Well, you know, it's actually gone really well, because now she says there's some rides we've been to theme parks and she didn't want to go on. And she now says, well, if I can do that, I can do that one.
Good on her. That's the way to look at it.
Wicker Man's on the agenda. So we'll be on Wicker Man soon at Alton Towers. Don't you worry about that.
Oh, is it an Alton Towers ride? I thought you were going to burn her. Oh, I was about to phone social services then.
Yeah, we'll be off to a village to punish an interfering police officer before long. Don't you worry about that. On this show, I am the returning police officer. A little bit of mention of last week's grassing up of a cow. There's the literal police, of course there is. There's a lovely chat about things you say after you break wind, which, to be honest, is the one I would like to continue. And Will said, especially if you can send a voice note to him of you doing it.
Sound effect, absolutely.
That's what
Will would
really
love
like.
That.
I'd love to know what your family quirk or relationship quirk is for what you say, either before or after you're about to break wind.
Either end, by the way.
john@absoluteradio.co.uk. If you bump into Will out and about, we'll put a picture of him online. If you see him, just go and drop one next to him. He'd be absolutely delighted. Charlie, are you up for that as well? Charlie's not up for that.
There's a very stern shaking of the head there from Charlie.
Just Will. It's just
Joe,
you're well up for it.
Yeah.
You're laughing. It's just a right bit of laugh, fun, good time show, podcast.
It's very warm in the studio, can I just say? I think we're all a little bit affected by the heat. We record this bit after we've recorded the show.
Those gins
are all a bit giddy.
Well,
yeah,
heavy.
They are. The breakfast gin is...
Enjoy the podcast.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Absolute Radio. John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
Do you think I should do that like I'm sort of introducing you on stage? Because I always sort of throw it away. But if you want more of a build-up, I can do it.
The problem is, the more you build it up, the silence after you say it just hurts more.
Yes.
You know, on stage, there's applause. But in this studio, Will and Charlie are indifferent at best.
Do you know, you've reminded me there of a nightmare I had this week.
Oh, no.
Where I was on Taskmaster again.
Oh, yeah.
And I did so badly in one of the episodes that the next episode when they introduced me, it was absolute silence. And I had to go in the audience and berate a man on the front row who not only didn't applaud, but didn't even look at me.
Oh,
and
you
started
took him
getting,
on.
Oh, I really did. I'm very aggressive in my dreams.
I love the idea that Dream John is aggressive.
Yeah.
It's like my husband, Dream Matt, my husband cheats on me constantly.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Oh,
and he tells
awful.
You in the morning?
No, in my dreams. This is in my dreams.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant he was waking up and saying, "You'll never guess who I got off with last night." You're happy this morning, Matt? Yeah, of course I am. I had a lovely night, thank you. Got it to wake up. Anyway, let's crack on. Now, whatever you may think of the John Richardson Show, we are nothing if not conscientious. Not the cleanest show on the radio, certainly the tidiest, so we tie up all the loose ends from last time we were here, and this sums up last week's show.
But I've got two little ones.
There we go.
I mean, last week's show, there were so many things Will could have chosen.
What's interesting is when we sort of rotate between you and Kerry and Roisin, it's always a little bit random. Sometimes it's something quite straightforward. Sometimes it's a very tedious thing. Once we've had Angela for a few weeks, that basically becomes a smutty pun to start the show with. It's just a bit of filth to start off with.
It's just in my DNA. I can't help it. I've tried to not be smutty, but it just comes out without me even thinking about it.
There we go. I mentioned last week I called the police after a cow was wandering next to a main road late at night. Angela, you called me a grass.
Yes.
I left feeling that perhaps I had made a mistake. Emma has been in touch and she's got some thoughts.
Hi, John. I just wanted to get in touch with you about when you called the police on a cow last week. I used to work as a police call taker and you absolutely did the right thing. We got a lot of calls about cattle in the road. Would regularly dispatch police officers to move those cows along. Thanks, Emma.
It's not why anyone's joining the police, is it?
Yeah, I'm basically a police officer. That's what she said there. If you want to get involved in the weekly catch-up, of course, reply on a theme. If you get in touch and you've got something to say on two discussions in one message, you're getting straight through. And that's what Mark's done. Two of the big chats we've been having lately have been to do with the fact around there only being one actual lake in the Lake District and people who consume every part of an apple, brackets lunatics.
People who eat properly.
So you say. Let's see. Mark's been in touch. He's got something to say on both of these topics.
Hey, John, I just want to put to bed a couple of things from the last 2 weeks of the show. First of all, I spent many years growing up in the Lake District, and let me tell you, there's only one lake, and I won't hear any more from your listeners on this subject. As for films where an alien has eaten an apple, it actually happens in Paul, so that is the film that was referenced last week. Nothing inappropriate there. Love the show, Mark.
Beautiful.
Lovely work, Mark. That's beautiful, Mark. That.
He doesn't sound like he grew up in the Lake District.
No, he said he spent a few years growing up there and then it sounds like he bailed right out, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you're very young, you pick up accents very quickly.
Well, I can tell you from my linguistics degree that if you move somewhere before puberty, pretty much, then you will pick up the accent.
So I've still got chance.
After puberty, if your accent changes, it's because you've made a conscious decision, John.
Okie dokie, right. Well, I'm going to move to Devon, see if I can sort this mess. I went on holiday to the Isle of Wight once and I got invited on stage and they said, where are you from? And I went, I'm from on holiday.
Oh, that's so cute.
I've only been there about 3 days. So desperate to conform. Anyway, anything that happens today that makes you want to get in touch, you could do so. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. We've done all our official business, haven't we? Now I can look you in the eye.
Yes.
And say, in true This Morning style, are you okay? Are you
right,
okay,
Holly?
Angela? Are you all right? How are you doing?
I'm all right. I've got friction burns on my neck that are bothering me from my wetsuit.
You said you had wetsuit burn this
morning. Yeah, I went for a little swim and I got a new wetsuit, a new shorty wetsuit, a summer one.
Summer wetsuit? Yeah. What a British sentence that is.
Isn't it? Well, usually this time of year I wouldn't wear one, but I went down to Shoreham Beach yesterday and it was really windy and raining and so I popped on my little shorty wetsuit.
Yeah.
And I've got, the collar every time, because I was doing my front crawl.
Yeah, because it's got, I should point out, it's got a collar and tie. It's a very formal wetsuit.
It's a very formal wetsuit.
There's a waistcoat.
Yeah, it's got top hat and tails. So every time I turn my head, it like scraped on the neoprene, and now I've got these burns around my neck. It looks awful.
That tells me you're doing proper front crawl swimming then, if you breathe into the side.
Oh, yeah, of course. You've got to do proper front crawl swimming, John. I'm not an old lady, doesn't want to get her hair wet.
I'm very nana breaststroke when I'm going swimming, I'll tell you that now.
I can imagine it now. Is your head out the water all the time?
Yeah, and then I have a right fluster if it goes near my mouth.
Yeah, I can see it.
Just have to tread water for a minute.
We should go swimming together, John. I'll get you breathing underwater. You'll be fine.
I can do it. I just get all of the fluster and then I get very tired and then I have to stop and have a little break at the end.
But that's it. Once you get the rhythm, I used to be like that, but once you get the rhythm and it clicks, then you don't get tired and panicky anymore. You'll be fine.
Do you know, my daughter has swimming lessons and I take her every week and every week I don't have the confidence to say, next week can I get in? Because she's getting to a point now where she's overtaking me and I think, that's actually quite useful for me to know, that thing.
I have swimming lessons still, to constantly get my stroke better and stuff.
It's the snap on the breaststroke leg, not the kick, it's the snap.
Absolutely it is.
Oh, I didn't realise it was the snap.
And it's holding the arrow as well on a breaststroke. You don't want to be constantly doing, flapping your arms. You know?
It's good to know the grown-ups call it holding the arrow because we call it slicing the pizza.
Nice!
Well done for going. And that's, I guess if you mention it now, that's not your smugness.
It's not even
that you
my
went
smugness
swimming in the
this
sea
week,
this
no.
week. How do you cope I know you don't work well around a locker. How do you cope on a beach with your items?
I have a pool float, which is one of those inflatable bags. So you put all your stuff in it.
Yes.
Inflate it, tie it around your waist, and that just trails behind you with your car keys and phone and everything and your clothes in.
Oh,
and also that
my.
Means that if there's tide pulls you, so you go quite far up the beach, you don't have to walk back or swim back to where your clothes are. You can just get out there.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. There's no danger, of course, of that coming unattached and you just watching your clothes and car keys drift out to sea.
Every now and then I panic. I have it double tied around my waist, and every now and then I have to touch my waist to check it's still there. But yeah. It just bobs next to me so I can see it out the corner of my eye. Sometimes right. I think it's another swimmer and I apologise to it. That happens quite
I think
a lot.
I'd think it was a shark and I'd swim a lot faster.
Well, a bright pink shark. There's a lot of those in Brighton, I must admit. Neon pink sharks.
Well done for going. I had to cut short a swim this week because of my sore tootsies.
Oh, what have you done to your tootsies?
Well, they're just old men's feet. So I had to go to a chiropodist. There's a limit to how sexy a man can be at half
You're
past 8 in the morning.
You're 40-something, not 80-something. Oh, what's going on?
You've got to get into the habit. Just get them seen to and they feel all lovely.
Do they
just
file off all the hard skin? Some people are eating their breakfast, aren't they?
Yeah, it's disgusting what happens in there. They talk to you, they just chat away like there's nothing wrong. Mm. And you just, every now and again, I have to just go, sorry about all this.
My friend's a podiatrist and I honestly, looking at people's feet all day
what
every
day. What a thing to do. She said she'd been on home visits all week. Imagine the feet she's seen of people who can't get out of the house on them.
When I used to work in homeless hostels, we used to have chiropodist podiatrists come in. Because obviously if you're street homeless, taking care of your feet is quite difficult. And I used
and
to
important.
Think, however much this woman's getting paid is not enough.
Yeah, I felt that this week.
You know.
Oof. But now I'll tell you what. I'm corn-free and I'm living my best life.
Glad to hear it.
I just wanted to say that to see if Charlie or Will was going to look at each other and say, that's the clip for next week, and they haven't said it. So I assume they're going to use the thing I said earlier about it going in my mouth. Yes. Anyway, we've done well there to chat about the big thing that I know happened to you this week. I would like to apologise.
Yeah, we're saving that, aren't we?
Listen, John Richardson... Mm-hmm. Saying to you, Angela Barnes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry in a number of ways.
Are you?
I'm sorry just for what happened to you this week. And I'm sorry for the glee I took. Because last week, if you weren't listening to last week's show, I was delighted that Angela was leaving the studio to spend the best part of a day, a hot day,
hot
in a
day,
car.
Really hot day.
With her husband and a dog.
Yeah.
Then to get on a ferry.
Yeah.
And I made great hay with that. I really, really enjoyed that.
You did.
Angela, what happened?
So, I was supposed to go straight from the studio to Liverpool, get the ferry to Northern Ireland, visit my mum for her birthday, her 75th birthday. That was the plan.
Now, may I just quickly interject and say I was not given that information at the time. I knew you were going to see your mum. Yeah. I didn't know it was her 75th birthday. I might have been less mean.
You wouldn't have been less mean,
I don't
John.
Think I would
you
have been,
In
no.
fact, you would have doubled down because
I
it was a special
have,
occasion. What you forget sometimes, John, is that I know you.
Yes, of course you do.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for that as well.
Well, while we're here, I've got a list of things you can apologise for.
Yeah.
So what happened? I left the studio. I went and met
Skipped
my husband.
Out.
We got in the car. I got in the car. So my husband had already driven from Brighton to London. Oof. Then I get in the car, dog in the back. We stop a few times on the way because we've got the dog, you know, for to have a wee and a little run around.
Beaconsfield, we discussed
Beaconsfield, great services, let's be honest. It's got a Nando's. What more do you want? Yeah. And then we continued the journey. And I just thought at some point in the journey, I thought I'd just check I've got all the details on the ticket and everything.
Mm.
And
something
buried,
to have done the day before, perhaps?
Yeah, well, I thought I had. But buried in the information was... Now, here's the problem, right? The dog going on a ferry to Northern Ireland, that's a thing that's been fine in the past. Absolutely fine. However, 2 weeks before we travelled, so on the 4th of June, it turns out they changed the rules. And now, if you want to take a dog on a ferry to Northern Ireland, it turns out now you have to have a certificate from your vet.
You gotta have your papers.
You gotta have your papers, exactly.
Dog's gotta have papers.
Yeah, and you don't want to mess with border in Northern Ireland. Like, you don't want to
mess. Got your papers
with that.
For your dog there, ma'am.
I realised that the rules had changed, so I was like, well, we need a vet quickly. So I was really around vets in
That's
Liverpool.
That's not a sentence anyone wants to hear on the motorway.
So I was ringing around vets in Liverpool to see if there was anyone who could just do us this certificate. Like, oh, by this time, it was 6 o'clock in the evening and our sailing's at 10 o'clock.
I can't do that.
No. Hey, are you kidding? I don't even know.
I've got papers for the dog now.
What? No.
6 o'clock.
Anyway, yeah. So we couldn't get papers for the dog. And so we just had to drive home again to Brighton and not go to my mum's birthday. Luckily, I know nice people like you, John. And I texted some of the more well-known comedians I know and went, do me a solid here. I've upset my mum by not turning up for her birthday. So I got some comedian friends to make a little video for her, which was nice, which you did, and Kerry Godleyman did.
Yeah.
And Mark Steele and Joel Dommett and Rod Gilbert all did nice little videos for her. Lovely. So that was something.
So let's form a quick list of the people that said no.
Yeah.
I think.
A lot of people did not reply to my text. You did a nice video, John, but there was a spider in it, wasn't there, which frightened you?
There was a big spider above my head, I realised, as I was filming, and I wrote your mum's name on my kitchen
which
window.
Which was lovely. You did. She was really chuffed with that. You put it in a little heart on the window, didn't you?
Chalk pens, I put happy birthday. I put your mum's name. And I tell you what,
yeah.
My daughter got back in
when,
and she
Linda?
Said, who's Linda? We had to have a serious chat.
Love it.
I'm so sorry, because I feel, this show is built on cynicism and meanness, and I was very rude, and I felt horrified for all of you when that happened. So,
will you say that, John?
Let me just caveat what's about to be said.
Oh, I knew you were going to, just because it's the John Richardson show, he can get all his caveats in before I tell the nation what he did.
Well, now, look, we've reached a point in the show WhatsApp group where Wordle doesn't feature all the time, does it?
No.
Except, and let's be honest, I'm looking at all of you here, I'm looking at you, Charlie, only comes up when somebody's done well.
Yeah.
So every now and again, there's been no Wordle chat, and then there'll be a big, got it in two. Anyway, how are we looking for Saturday? As if that's what you wanted to know. Nauseating. So you had, correct me if I'm wrong, in that week said that you Wordled in two.
I did Wordle in two. This is what happened. We have our little WhatsApp group, and obviously we talk about the show, but we talk about fun things, you know, something exciting happens in our life, we share it, because that's the kind of people we are.
Yet to happen for me, but I like to read yours.
Well, there we are. And that day, I Wordled in two, and I thought, I know who'll like to hear about that. It'll be my lovely
everyone
friends
I know
at the John Richardson show. So, in the WhatsApp group, I put Wordled in two today, guys, and my evidence of it with a screenshot. Mm-hmm. And John's reply was, maybe I'll read it out, actually, from the
Was a couple of days later, I think. So we've let the dust settle a bit. You're back home.
I'm
everyone's
back home.
Fine.
Yeah. Everyone...
Your mum's got a video.
That's right. Yeah, you've done... Yeah, that's it. Getting all the good things you did,
I done good boy. I done good boy. Then I was bad boy.
So my message says, Wordled in two today, gang. And then you replied, took me four. I wondered if the word was ferry, but then you'd have missed that.
Oh,
too
it's
soon,
gear.
Question mark. Oh.
It's lovely gear.
Oh, I mean, from a comedian's point of view, I was very proud of you. I was like, oh, that is banging. That's great.
Yeah.
But it was a little twist of the knife in my heart, that was.
That'll change your gig, that. That's
oh,
one of them,
yeah.
You do that in audience patter, suddenly the audience think, hang on, this kid knows what he's doing.
He's a professional.
I tell you what's worse, I enjoyed it more hearing it back from you.
I bet you did.
I had to settle up with some friends this week, so we all worked out who owed what. I'm an absolute swine for a filthy reference on a bank transfer, I'll tell you that now. And receiving a WhatsApp from your friend with the bank reference that you've put on there is even funnier than doing it at the time, I'll tell
I'm
you that
I'm assuming
now.
You can't say on air what that bank reference was.
No, I don't think I can. Anyway, it's time for I Love You But. It's the one dedication we do a week. This week, it comes in from Joe.
Hi, John. It's Joe here. Thanks for giving me this week's one and only dedication. I'd like to give a shout out to Norman. Norman, I love you, but why do you always insist on trying to cuddle me when you have a mouthful of water, You're amazing, but you can overshare some things. When we're not together, I know you're listening to Absolute, so enjoy the name check. Oh, by the way, John, Norman is our three-year-old German Shepherd.
Okay, that I'm so glad that caveat came because yeah. I wondered what was going on in their house for a bit there.
It was like an episode of Slow Horses, wasn't it? Built, there was twists and turns.
Oh,
we'd
Norman.
Never had one for a dog before.
Oh, Norman sounds great. I love a big, wet, slobbery cuddle from a dog.
I was very excited because I thought Norman was going to be our partner.
Yeah.
And I thought Norman's little party trick was to get a mouthful of water, lean in for a cuddle and then spit it all down her back or something.
Do you know, I thought the same thing, John.
Yeah.
And actually, I might try that with my husband later.
Yeah, there's an idea brewing there for all couples. So you can certainly have the dedication because I think that's going to happen up and down the country now, people getting water spat and then just people screaming, look, it's a heat wave. I was only trying to cool you down. So this is, I suppose if I've... dedicating, I need to speak in a way that Norman will understand. Norman! Norman! Norman!
Who's a good boy?
I hope Norman is a dog. Now I realise I'm out of
it. Do you think he might be a shepherd who comes from Germany?
Yeah, it's very possible. We're going to get an angry voice now. I was absolutely furious listening last week. Third borderline offensive accent of the week, and I think that's going to be it. So anyway, this is for you, Norman, from Joe. If you want to get in on next week's slightly mean dedication, get in early and email now, john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show. Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Welcome back to Absolute Radio. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
Will and Charlie with us as usual. And Kermit the Frog popping in sporadically.
The listeners don't know why you just did that.
Well, those who listened to the last link, Charlie pointed out I went a little bit Kermit the Frog.
You did.
And we had a listen back. And I did go a bit
you
Kermit the Frog.
You did go a bit Kermit the Frog. Nothing wrong with that, John.
You know when you get a little bit stuck in your throat?
A frog in your throat? Is that what you're saying?
I had a Kermit in the throat, absolutely. But I've coughed him up now.
Good.
Now, this is interesting because this is the part of the week where I warm up for bringing down a listener who's smug by bringing you down.
Which you've done already, I'd argue,
well,
on this show.
I'm not going to do better than the fairy slam, am I?
No.
So I might go a bit easy on you this week, but that will mean I'll have to double down on the listener, which seems unfair. So
I think that seems perfectly fair. I get this every week. Some might call it workplace bullying, possibly.
Yeah, but if you do it on air, it doesn't count.
Oh, right, okay, fine.
Yeah. I go the other way with it. I'm very frank. Then I'm actually quite tedious off air. You've come in with your wetsuit chafing from your wild water
swim. Yeah, so I can't. That's not smug because...
That's not your smugness.
No.
You arrived with a hell of a snack in the studio this morning as well.
I did.
Every entitlement to be smug about that.
I've turned up with the Marks & Spencer's strawberries and cream sandwich that everyone's banging on about. Now, John, you're vegan, so you can partake.
I can't have it.
Oh, boy, have you missed out. It is so good.
Do you know what? I get my enjoyment from watching you enjoy yours. And if you believe, look at the Will's getting it straight in there
now. Oh, my God, yeah, Will's right. It's good, isn't it? It's
absolutely.
Like it's like pudding, but not pudding, but it. Oh, my God, it's good.
Oh, I'm really enjoying watching the way you're eating half a sandwich there, Will. I used to have a bit of stand-up about the order you eat half a... When are you going to take that back corner that hasn't got enough filling in?
I go round the crust first. Don't you do that?
You've got to go around the crust first. You've got to leave the central...
Yeah.
Want
the feeling, he's
going to leave that till the end. Oh, he looks furious
what
at me.
Monster.
I don't think it
counts. No, he's going straight for the middle, John.
He's taking the best bit out now.
You
what if you
animal.
Die now, Will? Anyway, right. What are you smug about, Angela?
So, well I'm last night, I did a show in Ipswich. That's not what I'm smug about. What happened, right, I was supposed to be headlining the show and I got there early because that's what I do. The opener got stuck in traffic and didn't make it for the start of the show. But old headliner here was already there. So they said, do you mind going on first?
Oh, it's
so
a lovely feeling.
So that meant I got to get home like 2 hours earlier than I would have done.
Yes.
And also on the way home, there were motorway closures. So it would have been a really late night had I not got there early enough to go on first. And it was a charity gig, John, so careful.
Yeah, it's something that I think you deserve to be smug about. I think those who'd paid to see Angela headline and then got basically an open spot who'd got caught in traffic.
I'll tell Shazia Mirza that that's what you think she is.
I wondered if you were going to name. Well, that's ended that one. Here's a test of the marriage. When you knew you were going to be home 2 hours early,
yes,
did you think, I'm not going to let him know and I just want to see what he's up to when I turn up in the house 2 hours before he's expecting me? Or did you text and say, just to let you know, it'll be 10, not 12?
So he could get rid of all the girls, so, the dancers
whatever goes on.
I did tell him I was coming home early. There is trust, I think, but, you know, I don't want to walk in on what I might. Do you know, what the worst thing I've walked in on with my husband is I've walked in early and found him with full head set on, like with gaming with friends.
Yes, like, I was going to say gaming.
He was so embarrassed that I'd caught him doing that.
I was going to say the worst thing that you could do is walk in and see me with a headset on, get round, grab the shoulders, whoo, suddenly you're screaming down the headset with your mates.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? You've had a bad enough week. I think this is the first time. I'm not going to say anything at all. I'm going to congratulate you on once again spending a night off driving great distances to do charitable work. And I'm going to say, I'll tell you what, I'm coming for you next week. And whoever is on the line coming up, they're going to get it double.
Good,
smugness.
I'm not here next week, so watch out, Kerry.
Oh, no. Well, it's going to be awful. She's not going to know what hit her. Straight through the door. Where's my strawberry sandwich? Right, sit down. Now, it's the time of the week where I bring down a listener who's smug about something. I'd be very honest. What I get is on the wall, it says, smugness is the name of the feature. And then it says the name of the person who happens this week to be Graham. I'm not going to lie, when I saw it on the wall earlier, I was very excited because I thought we had a voice note from Graham Souness. I thought, we've never heard from Graham Souness. I've read it again. It says Graham Smugness. So unless it's both and it's Graham Souness who's smug about something.
Oh, wouldn't it be amazing if this is Graham Souness now with his smugness?
Yeah, I don't think it is. Let's press the button and find out. Here's Graham.
Hi, John. I'm very smug this week. After a few weeks of attending the pub quiz at my local, the Station Hotel Larbert, my team actually won. And if the adoration and respect of the other 11 teams wasn't already enough, we also won the £55 prize pot. All that, as well as a trip to the pub on a school night and expanding our clearly immense knowledge by finding out the answers to the very few questions we didn't know. What's not to like? I'm very smug about it. Try and bring me down for that. Cheers, Graham.
Oh, Graham is a man after my own heart. Oh, my goodness. Love a pub quiz. Are you shocked by that, John? How much I love a pub quiz?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I'm in a WhatsApp group with you, aren't I?
Oh, yeah.
It's 4:30 in the morning. She's wordled already. That is kryptonite to me, that. Mm. I mean, that just sounds like a wonderful evening. I could listen to that voice note as poetry. I thought that was... You set that to music. I thought that was absolutely joyful.
All he needed to add to that was a game of darts, and that would have been your ideal, your sort of platonic ideal of a night, wouldn't it?
And the fact he said on a school night as well, because there's something...
Oh, yeah, naughty
55 quid
it.
As well. They're leaving in profit, that team.
Yeah.
I had a lunch break, and I shouldn't confess to this. I was 18 at the time, during my A-levels, where my friend Sam and I went to a pub at lunch break, and we had a pint of alcohol beer. Mm. We went on a quiz machine, which you don't find in pubs anymore.
You don't? I used to love a quiz machine.
You don't get beat the landlord anymore. You don't get the fill the pint up one. You don't get Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We went in, we had a pint, we left with more money than we'd come in with. Must have been a Monday lunchtime when it's full from the weekend and everyone's got hammered and
there's
not
no one
got
else
the answers
in there.
Right. Paying out it was. I think we won 17 quid. It was just, and I remember it now, obviously.
Yeah.
As one of the great things that's ever happened to me. So it's very hard to be sad for Graham.
I'm just trying to find ways to sort of pick holes in it. Maybe that it took him several weeks to win. Is that?
Yeah, here's what I think. Well, it's more about next week. So next week, you're returning champions. Everyone's gunning for you. The pressure's on. Suddenly, second or third's not good enough anymore.
Yeah,
so
you might
actually
as well give up if you don't win next week.
You've got a rock. And then he's going to be in the situation that my dad was in last week, where you're part of a successful pub team and then you are away, but the rest of the team goes. There's going to be a week when Graham doesn't go to the pub quiz and they win without him. And if my dad's anything to go by, there's going to be some existential crisis happening.
Realise you're the weakest link. Oh, you... that. Oh, mate.
I didn't say that. No, I never said he was the weakest link.
That.
Oh. I said, yeah, you'll want to be pleased for him, but if you're honest, you just can't be.
No.
You just can't be. You're absolutely fuming. You want him to get stuffed when you're not there, Graham. The only way I'm going to bring you down is to say enjoy this week, because the next week is going to be an absolute nightmare. You walk in that pub, heads are going to turn. Here they are. Here they are.
Let's see what they can do with these extra difficult sport questions. Let's see.
Yeah. But congratulations, Graham and the team. I don't do the smugness thing.
No.
But if I did, I would discuss the fact that this week I found a piece of paper. Now, I reckon I cut this out of The Guardian, the weekend couples complaining about each other thing. I used to like the first dates thing they did.
Young John used to cut out the couples complaining about each other just to feel better about his own sad life. Is that what you're saying you did?
Wow, that was really heavy, that. You really swung at that.
Sorry. It's the fairy thing.
Absolutely.
You know? Get it all out.
I didn't always cut them out. I like to read them. I like to read the first dates going badly just to prove that that was a bad idea. And then I like to read the... I cut this one out because it made me laugh so much. And I remember pinning it on my office wall where I used to write, and it made me laugh every time. And then I didn't find it for 10 years. I found it again this week. I put it on my social account.
Oh, yeah.
It's a letter from someone that says, I have been with my husband now for 14 years. Every day he burps loudly and frequently. Now, that's enough.
Beautiful.
Often adding a swear word for added effect. I really don't like it. When I ask him not to do it, he just laughs at me. Any suggestions? If you're of age and you're on social media, the swear word is listed.
Yes.
I'm not going to say it because I like my job. I like the letter. I like the image. I like that I've taken it on and I've done it myself, and it does make a burp funnier.
Yeah.
I like that the response is not on the side of the person getting in touch at all. The Guardian columnist says, is it not fascinating how within the welter of our so-called common humanity, how terrifically different we all are? If I were married to your husband, I would laugh my leg off every time the event you outlined occurred.
100%.
I've read your letter 3 times now and have cackled harder with every one. But then I wasted a good part of my 20s going out with a man who used to ring me up every time he had a bowel movement. To recount the latest instalment of One Man and His Fecal Matter, 2 inches longer, and that would have required the last rites and a decent Christian burial. Now that that's getting too far for me. I'm not into the toilet stuff, but a good burp around the house.
Oh, there's nothing better than a good burp or a little bottom burp. Oh, it's fun in a couple. I don't trust couples that don't burp or do those things in front of each other.
Now
it's
fun. There is the line, because I don't mind a burp, but yeah. I think the other thing is that's private.
Oh, it's fun. Come on, with your partner, it's fun.
Have you seen the thing on
Instagram where the guess my fart thing?
Yes.
Oh, it makes me laugh so much every time. And Matt refuses to play it with me.
I think this is just good, clean fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's just lovely. There's nothing nicer than having a little burp and going, oh, windy pops. It's lovely. Yeah,
a little bit of windy pops. That's the standard in our house.
Yeah.
Oh, little bit of windy pops there. I try, if I'm able and I'm around my daughter, to say a word.
I can't do the
Can
word.
Can you not
burp?
Do it?
No, I can't. And I can't burp on demand either.
Oh, I think I could. But I don't think I want to do it on the radio.
No.
But when you've only got 3 skills and one of them crops up in conversation, the temptation to do it is immense, but I'm not going to. But Olivia's husband can do it, and she says, and do you know, I had a couple of these.
Oh.
My husband says Iranu during or after a burp from Shooting Stars or some other Vic and Bob series. Drives me nuts.
Oh, you can hear it. It's great. Iranu.
Uvavu.
Uvavu.
But you know, oddly, I think there's certainly a couple who do the Iranu Vavu thing after Winnie Pops. I don't mind it.
And they must have been doing that since the 90s. That's what I love about it. Like, yeah. No one's starting with Iranu now, are they?
And it gets funnier to still be doing it in 2025.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's good commitment.
This is quite a nice, this is a very, very English one. Becky has said that my dad always says, "More tea, Vicar," after Breaking Wind. That is... I'm going to start using that one. Oh, more tea, Vicar.
It's lovely. Yeah.
It's so quintessentially British. I love
it. Well, that's one you can do with the grandparents, isn't it, that one?
Absolutely.
My nan always, if you break wind, you say, "Pardon me," and she will say, "Granted."
Lovely. My nan used to fart loads as she got older, and it was like every step with a little Zimmer
phone. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, it's so sweet.
When you're running or going upstairs.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm a big fan of mind that squeaky floorboard for a downstairs one.
Nice.
So do it whilst walking. And then if you've got another one in there, back up and do it in the same spot. That's joyful.
Oh, lovely. Or blaming the dog. That's always fun in our house. If one of us does it. Tina.
Well, funny if you haven't got a dog.
Beautiful.
That dog. Honestly, when we get one, whoa.
Oh.
Paul says, whenever having wind, regardless of whether or not we were in the car, my parents would always say, "Get out and walk."
That doesn't feel quite as gentle, does it? That one.
I think if you're not in a car, I think I can take it.
I quite like this from Dan Powell. This, again, is something I'm going to instigate in our house. It's our favourite flatulence-based game. I mean, already, love it.
Yeah. Like,
that is a family that belongs together. If one of you in a couple isn't game for the flatulence games, then you don't belong together. Like, you're either both for it or both against it, I think.
Yeah.
He says, our favourite flatulence-based game is telling each other what animal, inanimate object or BG that their wind sounds like. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, badger.
Another one that cropped up quite a few times is people saying that you just respond to any sort of flatulence as if someone's asked you a question. So someone will burp and they'll say, "But 3:30, I think." Anyway, what I'm saying is I can't get enough of it. So if you've got a particularly good one, please send them in. Even if I don't read them out on radio, no, I will read it and it will bring me great joy in my personal life. John at absoluteradio.co.uk. We've set up the literal police for people who misuse that word. Been another busy week and a fence to get to. But before then, this is a first for the literal police force.
Ooh.
Someone's got in touch to ask about the literal law in advance before they accidentally commit an offence. Vanessa.
Love this.
Yeah,
it's like a community outreach programme we've started now.
I really like it.
Brilliant.
I feel a bit of pressure now, actually, to be able to offer the right advice.
Mm.
I'm like Paul Hollywood now, and there's an actual baking emergency, and he never thought he'd be called up on it. And he's just wandering past an oven. I won't do the voice because I did it an hour ago. But here's what Vanessa wants to know.
Hi, John. I need some help and support from the literal police, not because I use literally too much, but because I want to see whether I can use literally in a phrase or not, and thought it would be best to check with the force before I use it. Last year, I drove from Cheshire to Dover in the evening, caught the ferry to Calais, and then drove till 4 a.m. I took a power nap for 40 minutes, then drove to arrive in the Czech Republic for 5 p.m. When describing this massive journey, I'm inclined to tell people that I literally drove all night. Would I be correct in saying this, or should I use a different word or phrase? Literal police, I hope you can please provide me with some support and guidance on this. Thanks very much, V.
For a start, she's brought up ferries.
I know, you're all right, mate.
I'm fine, I just need a moment.
Are you all right?
That's fine.
Cheshire to Dover. But what you want to do is get on the ferry.
Yeah.
That's the bit.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
But to her query, let's skip past the ferry.
Yeah, now I'm trying to recall the time she said she napped. When did she nap? Did she nap in the morning?
4 a.m.
She napped at 4 a.m.
That's in the middle of the night.
Ooh.
Really?
So she hasn't.
Because otherwise, what's her drove all night? From 8 till 12, big wow. Like, that's
nothing.
Yeah,
it would have ruined the song.
I haven't said big wow since the 80s. That's taken me by surprise. Big
I
wow.
I drove all night, except for a nap.
Exactly.
And then a sandwich, and I needed the loo.
Oh, I wonder what you were going to say.
Love to you. I don't think
she didn't literally drive all night. I think it's you literally
travelled through the night.
I literally drove for a portion of the night where I wasn't napping.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as good an anecdote.
No, it doesn't trip off the tongue. I grant you. No. And there's not a song about it.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
So Vanessa, thanks for reaching out. I'm afraid we cannot allow you to lose the term literally in that sense. Next offence. Rebecca's been in touch.
Hiya, John. I have a literal offence to report. While scrolling the socials in the week, I came across a post from the Wednesday's podcast, I don't know if you've seen this, with reality TV stars Sophie Habu and Melissa Tatham. And they were chatting about foods they like. And Melissa asked Sophie what her favourite cereal is. And when she responds with Shreddies, Melissa said she literally read her mind. Literally. Well, she didn't, did she? Complete abuse of the word literally, and hope that you take this very, very seriously. Thank you so, so much. Love the show. Rebecca.
Let's hear the offence.
What's your favourite cereal with milk? If you could pick one right now to have.
Shreddies.
Oh my God, no, you literally read my mind.
Shreddies all day, every day.
No, she didn't literally read her mind. She just said Shreddies.
That sentence there in that intonation.
Yeah,
that's what,
like,
that's what this is all about. You just
literally read my mind.
So you can't literally read a mind.
No one can.
You cannot. So I'm afraid, Melissa, that's you in jail. I'm not going to put them both in for saying that Shreddies is the best cereal to have with milk, because that is also incorrect.
Well, it is. I mean, I was going to skim over that. Skim milk over that.
Sorry, you're in jail. Bye-bye. If you, like, literally spot a literal offence, you can, like, literally contact us anytime. John at absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes here on Absolute Radio. Time for the news that wasn't in the news, that could, would, or perhaps should have been in the news. We're off down Devon way.
Oh, ain't Will's we, neck of the woods.
Ain't we, Will?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Talky. Yeah.
I tell you what, you want to hear a news story about something that posed no threat to the public at any point? Whoa. You want to get down Devon, mate. This is an hour-long drama. This report, by the way, this is international news from Devon. I've not picked this up from the Somerset Gazette. This.
Well, you wouldn't, because it was in Devon.
No, but you know, next door, I mean.
It's all the same, isn't it?
Wanted somewhere that rhymed with Gazette. The Talky Herald. Is it the Talky Herald as well?
Maybe it'd be the Talky Talky. That's what I'd call it.
Oh, that's lovely stuff. Yeah, it really is. You can work clean, Angela.
I know.
It's why it's so disappointing that you dive for the gutter at the first opportunity. Anyway, this has been reported by CBS. Great guys, CBS. They've had a right kick in this week, haven't they? Some of the news agencies in America. He's not happy with some of them. Guys at CBS are good guys as far as I'm concerned, until proved otherwise. This is a story about Mish and Lucy. Couple of young bears escaped. Oh, you say that. Would you be saying that if they were running at you down the old Saltmouth A road? Couldn't think of anywhere else in Devon.
We're going to have so many texts from people in the West Country. And they're terrible when they're angry, because they've all got pitchforks.
Two young bears escaped from their enclosure. Angela, I want to know the noise you would make if you were wandering around Devon and you saw 2 4-year-old bears approaching you.
Oh.
Yeah, that'll do. That'll do.
That's my thinking noise.
I think that's about right. Oh. Because I tell you what, they're decent-sized bears. And I don't think you expect it in Devon.
Well, that's why my first thought would be toddlers in costumes. I think it was children in onesies is what my first thought would be, I think, if I saw 2 bears in Devon.
They escaped from Wildwood, Devon. What do you think they did when they escaped?
Did they go on a rampage?
That's what a real bear would do. Think of a Devonian. What would a cartoon bear do if it had its first taste of freedom in its entire life?
Cartoon, go for the picnic baskets.
They made a beeline for the nearest food store where they scoffed snacks, including 7 days' supply of honey, and then fell asleep.
They ate honey? Are these the most basic bears ever? Like proper Winnie the Pooh.
A week's worth of honey. Were returned to their enclosure and then had a lovely nap.
I don't know about you, but when I grew up reading Winnie the Pooh, I used to think, isn't that mad? Like, bears don't eat honey in the wild. Turns out, wild bears would eat honey.
A spokesman for the bears said, oh, bother. I didn't, but that's what I imagine Winnie the Pooh. It's just a lovely story, isn't it?
It's
a nice bit of story. A couple of bears. No one got hurt. Well, you know, the store will have to be compensated for the lost honey.
Restock their honey. And it's not cheap honey, am I right?
Ooh. Would you? No,
did they
not if it's Manuka.
Go straight for the Manuka. I bet they did as well. Greedy little things.
400 quid with honey gone down there. Angela, do you think it's time to push for the release of all bears?
Yeah,
on the grounds that it'll probably be all right.
Canadian blood, you know, so yeah, let the bears out as far as I'm concerned.
So it's time to find out what Angela thought might have made the news headlines this week.
Well, John, I'm going to take you back. Actually, this occurred last weekend. And I'm going to cue you up for a song here, John, because last weekend it was very hot. There was a bit of a
heat wave.
There he goes. Look at that. Wind him up and he goes.
Absolutely ready. Beautiful.
It was really beautiful, John.
And People probably thought I had a jingle from the actual song there.
The most impressive thing is how modest you were about it.
Yeah, so, my daughter had to tell me to stop singing this week in the car.
They don't like it, do they, children, when their mums and dads sing? I can remember being like, when my dad used to sing in the car, I'd be like, please stop.
Well, there's two schools. You're either really trying, which is pathetic, or you're doing what I'm doing, which is trying to destroy a song she loves by doing it in a stupid voice.
Which song was it?
It was from the Minecraft movie soundtrack.
Wow.
You've got to go some to outdo Jack Black.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really giving it full welly. I really was. Lava! Chicken!
Yeah, anyway. It's ruined it for me, I'll tell you, right now.
You're welcome, you're welcome.
Anyway, I'm taking you back to the heatwave of last weekend. I live in Brighton, down on the south coast, and the train I get in every day to come to the studio, not every day, I don't come every day, that'd be weird, because the show's once a week, but when I come into the studio, I just hang around, see if they put me on any other shows.
Yeah,
just
fair enough.
Stare through the window at Bush and Richie. Please let me play.
Who's left a traffic cone out? Oh, it's Barnsley.
Wow. I'm never wearing this outfit again, just so
it's
you know.
Lovely.
Anyway, the train line that I get, the Brighton, so it was going from London to Brighton on the Thames Link line. They got stranded, the passengers got stuck on a bridge, and it was there for hours. Mm-hmm. And so this food delivery driver came along with bottles of water and threw them up to the passengers, like, and got through the train windows onto the bridge.
Oh,
isn't that lovely? Like, one of the passengers, a Lucy Redmond, she filmed him doing it. And there's this lovely video of him just... Yeah, throwing water.
Hoiking the bottles up.
Isn't that lovely?
He's dreamt of that moment as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, hasn't he? Just that was his star.
Yeah, he's hit a few double tops the night before, and he's thought, you know what? I reckon my arm's in today. I reckon I'll get down there, you know.
Oh, imagine being on that train though. They said it was nearly 40 degrees on the train.
Oh my goodness!
Broken down, and because they were on a bridge, they couldn't get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they were just stuck on that train. Oh, poor things.
So the real point of that story, don't leave your house.
Yeah.
Don't go out anywhere. Just ends in tears, doesn't it?
If you're going to go somewhere where they definitely have aircon.
Have a walk down the street, come back, eat a week's worth of honey, go to bed. That is the conclusion from this week's news that wasn't in the news, unless you want a delivery driver lobbing bottles at your head. Stay indoors.
That could have been dangerous, actually, couldn't it? Like,
Yeah, if he was there anyway. It's funny, he was chucking them before the train even broke down. Actually, we need to get the police involved.
The water was a bit yellow. Weird. Anyway.
Well, speaking of throwing yellow bottles, we're going to take you back to one of the most famous outdoor gigs of all time shortly on Absolute Radio. So this is usually the time of the week when we set up some sort of trap for rock and roll football. Mm. But obviously they are on a summer break. And Absolute
part-timers,
Absolutely ridiculous. Oh. And they can't have a season, the season they had last season. So hopefully when they get back, it'll be a bit of back down to reality.
Why don't they just change it to rock and roll cricket in the summer? I'll just pitch that. There you go.
I think the phrase itself is,
as soon as I said it, I realised.
Very exciting test this week. You into cricket? Did you watch?
Of course not, no. No, I don't. I've got ADHD. I can't be spending all day watching one thing.
We are, instead of talking about the test, we're looking at Britpop Summer, taking a look back at the biggest artists from that iconic time. This week, we're going to go back to the world of Britpop, iconic moment, 1996, the biggest gigs of all time, 150,000 people in a field, three toilets. it's Nebworth. So my thing about the Britpop summer is it's wonderful to reminisce and all that, and there will be shows full of people who were there, who interviewed people at the time. You want to get those sort of throaty voiced. Yeah, well, I remember talking to Noel Gallagher at the time, actually. I can't do that because I wasn't there.
You were a child, a nerdy little child.
Well, also, I was just tedious and skint, so I wouldn't have gone anyway. But I thought what would be fun is to talk about some of the other things that were happening while these key events were going on.
Well, I will say in 1996, I did see both Blur and Oasis in 1996.
Well, there you go.
But I got them the wrong way around because I saw Blur at the Manchester Arena and I saw Oasis in Wembley. So I sort of got them the wrong way around a bit. But
neither of them were happy.
No, quite. They were both in
the
wrong
place. Could you sense that at the time? Because they say a lot now that was sort of largely press-driven, that sort of rivalry. But yeah. I remember feeling it as a kid. I was Oasis all the way.
You see, I was Team Blur, really. But I'd like Blur,
but that, as
Blur
it should
had,
be.
Had been around long. I don't think it was to do with being Southern. As I'd been a Blur fan since 91, you know, so it was just...
You are a Southerner who went to art college.
I did not go to art college. You take that back.
Who fought on council estates. None of our choices were our own.
Oh, please.
Which gig did you prefer? So, if you're a Blur fan.
I was a Blur. I enjoyed the thing is, that whole rivalry thing. You didn't have to be one or the other. I liked both.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I enjoyed both gigs. I bought both albums when you were only supposed to buy one. You know, when it was, what was it? It was Roll With It and Country House were the two. So I bought both. Mm, yeah. I liked them both. But I will say, as a teenage girl at the time, I was more attracted to Damon Albarn than I was to Liam or Noel.
Was it Albarn? I remember one of my ex-girlfriends had a big thing for Alex James.
A lot of the girls like Alex James, but it was always Damon for me. Graham Coxon, I had quite a thing about. He used to, when I worked, I was in my 20s and I worked in Camden, and he used to get his hair cut in this barber's in Camden, and I used to sometimes see him in there, and I'd walk past a lot, just hoping, like, I'd walk past as he was coming out of the barber's, and I'd
Too
sort of
much.
Engineer a little meet cute, you know, but it never happened.
No, well. I admired how quickly Alex James went from, like, pin-up guitarist to cheesemaker.
Cheese farmer,
Where is Angela Barnes in 1996?
So, 1996,
then?
I was in my first year at Sussex University in Brighton. Mm-hmm. So, it's my first year in Brighton. And I found a diary from there. And it's like an appointment diary. I didn't keep a journal.
No.
But it was just like a diary with all my lectures in and stuff. So what I did, I very sort of studiously wrote down a list of all the club nights in Brighton at that time, how much they cost to get in.
Go on then, read a few of these out. So there'll be a few people who this will absolutely blow them away.
So this is like 1996 in Brighton. I've got the Paradox, which on a Tuesday night had student night, right? And they'd have things like foam parties or whatever. Then there was, these were the indie nights. So it was the Gloucester on a Friday. That was like a goth club, but on a Friday night they had an indie night. And that was £4 to get in or £2 before 11. Imagine paying £2 to get into a nightclub now. Brilliant. And then there was the House Garage and Techno nights. They were the Warehouse, the Escape, and then the Paradox on a Thursday.
So you'd go to the Paradox twice for very different nights?
Yeah, Tuesday for an indie night, Thursday for a more dance. No, I didn't go on a Thursday, I only ever went to the indie nights. I wasn't that cool.
Shall we put a picture of that up somewhere?
Yeah, I'll
put
it up.
People will love to see that.
Yeah, my little handwriting, it's lovely. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you after this where I was in 1996, and just have a little think in the meantime about whether you think I had a list of all the cool club nights where I lived.
I think we already know the answer to that.
Sadly so.
Absolute Radio's Britpop Summer.
John's Britpop Diaries.
Yeah, you say Britpop Diaries. I mean, there's some things I was doing.
Were you at Nebworth, John, in 1996?
Part of the clear-up. You know how people turn up at an oil slick?
Yeah, with your high viz and your little
finger. It was basically me at Nebworth with one of those grabbing sticks. Take your Chewits home with you, lads. Jesus, we've all had a good time. I'll tell you what, terms of, I was listening to Oasis at the time, but very much in a sort of slamming the bedroom door, sticking the Nintendo on and playing it very loud kind of way. Didn't go to any of the gigs in the 90s. Massive. Comedy is really getting old on me. 1996.
Oh, yeah. Good year.
I've got a list here of some of the... So, first ever Nevermind the Buzzcocks in 1996.
Nice.
Original lineup. Sean Hughes, no longer with us. Mm. 2.4 Children in its pomp.
I love 2.4 Children.
Cracking. So even what you think now as a sort of fairly naff down-the-middle sitcom was brilliant in the
90s. I watched it recently. Have you rewatched it?
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Great.
Gary Olson, sadly no longer with us.
He Fist was of brilliant. Fun.
So you've got early Lee and Herring going on there. Yeah. One of their first TV ventures. Kevin Eldon appearing on that. You've got Absolutely Fabulous, flying in 96. French and Saunders flying at Game On.
Oh,
cracking
Game
sitcom.
On.
Much underrated. Whose Line's It Anyway? Shooting Stars, Fast Show, Father Ted, They Think It's All Over, Mrs. Merton. I mean, it's just a phenomenal time
for TV comedy.
And so I've brought some stuff with me. I've got my VHS of Bottom Fluff.
Oh, yeah. God, I've seen that VHS in so many people's collection. That is such a 90s thing to
outtakes
have.
Video. And this one, so I was watching a lot of They Think It's All Over.
Oh, They Think It's All Over. Nick Hancock.
Yeah, and it's signed, look, I got it signed
by... Look at that.
Where is it? Nick Hancock, when I met him, we had him in Meet the Richardsons. I don't think he was expecting me to whack out the VHS. He was very upset to see what he looked like in 1996. But I've got from... So I went on holiday in 1996.
Oh, good old Haven holiday. I love a Haven holiday. And Pontins.
I went to Haven Seashore Camp in Great Yarmouth.
Yes.
And I spent the week embroiled in a battle with my friend Lee. We spent all our money. And this was in the days you could win on a teddy grab. You couldn't win every time, but you could get a teddy out of a teddy grab. We're in a very small caravan. By the end of the week, it's 16-15 on teddies.
Wow, did you all have to sleep outside?
It looked like a sort of psychopath's bedroom. It was just riddled with awful teddies. We got it to a draw, so we said, this is ridiculous. I'm not joking, we spent like 50, 60 quid each just on teddy grabs. Not a lot else going on, to be honest.
Actually, you had that much money to go on. You could have gone on a better holiday.
We'd had little jobs. We'd been saving up. Oh. We got to a draw and we said, right, that's it. No more teddies now. 16 all. Let's finish.
Wait, sorry, John. I've got a question here. How old were you?
14, 15.
And you were on holiday on your own, you and your friend Lee?
No, God, no.
Oh,
no,
okay,
with my family, I think.
Right, okay,
He took me on holiday next year to Torquay, which we heard about last time,
where I fell
in love with the girl whose life I then ruined.
That one, yeah.
However... what he said to me on the last day, you know, you've got to tidy up the caravan. It's all very stressful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He said, I've forgotten to get my mum a present from the holiday. I'm going to bomb into town. Do you mind tidying up the caravan? He goes into town. He gets tenner out of the bank. He wins two more teddies. He comes back. He goes, 18-16. And you packed all my stuff up. And I've never forgiven him. What a treacherous thing to do. Absolutely unbelievable.
Quite smart. What does he do for a living now, Lee?
He works in a can processing plant.
Oh, well, could have used those skills.
I met up with him a couple of weeks ago. We went for a few drinks. I brought it up then. I bring it up every time we meet. I'm never going to let him forget it. I'm never going to forgive him. Told him I was going to the toilet in the pub, left without paying. One all. Revengeance is sweet, my friend. I don't know what revengeance is, but it's probably a mashup.
I was going to pick you up on that job.
It'll be the opening voice note next week. Notice with interest you used the term revengeance last week. If there's a specific moment you would like to go back to in the Britpop archive, we can chat about it next week. Get in touch, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. So that's it for this week's John Richardson Show with Angela Barnes. We are about to hand you over to the capable care of Sarah Champion.
Champion by nature.
Oh, it's lovely. We should have been saying that before now.
Yeah.
What we do, for those of you who couldn't be here for the full 3 hours, and let's be honest, have missed out, we put this out as a podcast. It needs a title. Do you have any ideas?
I've got You've Been Tangoed by Kermit.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very vivid.
That's, isn't it? You can really see that.
Yeah, there's a touch of the synesthesia to that, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I can picture it. I can smell it. I can taste it.
Sort of orangey, froggy taste.
Orangey, froggy. I'm making this podcast sound awful. If you want to smell and taste an orange frog, download the John Richardson Show podcast from wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week. I think you're away, aren't you, next week?
I'll be at the British Grand Prix next weekend. That's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, that's very
exciting. I'll report for you. I'll tell you what it's all about.
You enjoy your vrum-vrums.
I'll enjoy my vrum-vrums, I will.
Thank you for everything you've sent in this week. Thank you for all the things you say after you burp. Thank you for all the corrections of my mistakes. Keep going with the literal police. Good police work never sleeps. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
So there we go. A bit of cricket chat this week. Nobody was expecting that. Nobody
apparently there was a bit of cricket chat, but I fell asleep, so...
Yeah, well, do you want some podcast-only content?
Oh,
yeah?
You got this some podcast on the live show. Exclusive.
An email has come in betwixt the show and the podcast, and I'm not going to save it like other people who are desperate for content would. I'm so confident in our listenership and the voice notes of burps and farts that are going to come in the next week. I'm going to tell you now
throw
that
this one away in the podcast.
Jimmy from Stockport has been in touch.
Hello,
and
Jimmy.
He says he takes on board your comments last week about golf. He says he only wishes all sports could be as environmentally friendly and as sound as Formula One.
Oh, yeah? Touché, Jimmy.
Yeah.
To be fair, I do regularly say, like, you know, it's a very conflicting thing being a Formula One fan and a woolly lefty greenie because, you know, those things don't... But what are human beings, if not complex hypocrites?
I totally agree. It's one of you do more charitable gigs than most people I know, and you like to spend your leisure time driving to Liverpool and back for no reason.
Thank you.
The carbon footprint.
In a hybrid.
In a whole story about your mum's birthday that was just a ruse for you to drive the length of the country
just to
and
burn
back.
Some fuel.
We'll be back next week with more. I'd love to know your things you say before and after you burp.
You're really doubling down on this one. You're really enjoying this one, aren't you?
Yeah, because sometimes you do this show for the listener and sometimes you do it for yourself. And I feel like I've done enough shows for you now. And next week's just... If next week is just things people say before or after they burp, I'm absolutely fine with that. Charlie isn't. She might be having a week off.
Good luck, Kerry, is all I can say.
Yeah, back with Kerry next week, live on Absolute Radio from 8 a.m. Thank you for all your involvement. Thank you to you, Angela. Thank you to you, Will and Charlie, as ever, for your sterling work now and in the week. Best wishes, everyone. Enjoy the start of Wimbledon.